Today's episode is sponsored by TrueLearn. TrueLearn has smart banks of practice questions for a wide variety of high-stakes examinations. Are you a med student? They have smart banks for step 1 and 2. Are you a resident in the field of internal medicine, emergency medicine, or anesthesiology? They have you covered with smart banks for the exams you will encounter along your journey. But this is not only for physicians. PAs and NPs can prepare for their exams using TrueLearn as well. They can even help nurses prepare for the NCLEX. Click the link in the show notes for a discount by using the code EddieJoeMD25. Crush your upcoming exams by using TrueLearn.
Welcome to the Saving Lives Podcast. I'm Eddie Joe. Today is the 2nd of September of 2023 for historical context. And if you have wondered what I've been doing for the last several months, I'm here to answer that I have been writing a book. The book's working title is The Vasopressor and Inotrope Handbook, a practical guide for healthcare professionals. Writing this book has been on my to-do list for over 4 years. The ventilator book by Dr. Will Owens, which I so often promote, was one of the inspirations for the book because it is both highly informative as well as easy to read. My goal with this book is to present the information and literature regarding vasopressors and inotropes in that format, something that anyone in the field of healthcare and medicine can pick up and just learn a thing or two. I promise that anyone can learn something from this book. No matter how much of an expert one is on a topic, something will be gained. I have learned so much by just writing it, and the journey has been incredible thus far. The big deal here will be the content. I will discuss vasopressors and inotropes we regularly use in our hospitals and some that we may just have heard of. These include norepinephrine, epinephrine, phenylephrine, vasopressin, terlipressin, celecoxib, dopamine, angiotensin II, midodrine, isoproterenol, dobutamine, meronone, levosimidine, I'm still trying to learn how to say that one, methylene blue, and hydroxycobalamin. At this time, I'm still determining whether to include certain vasopressors that are not used in the United States and are very poorly represented in clinical trials. As always, everything in this book is going to be evidence-based and everything will have a reference so that you can read the data for yourself. Whenever we go through the motions of caring for critically ill patients, we often wonder why we do X instead of Y. I have personally gone through all the data. I have honestly read over 400 papers to create this book, in order to obtain the answers to the questions we have asked ourselves. At the time of this writing, I plan on running through the chapters in a question and answer format. I do not plan on explaining dosages in a manner that could be found in any reference manual. For example, which dose to start norepinephrine? That's not something I'm going to cover. Every how many minutes should we increase the dose? How many mics per kilogram or mics per kilogram per minute should we wean norepinephrine? I'm not going to cover that stuff. Truth is, hospital policies with their references support those practice patterns. That's not this type of book. Some tables exist in numerous review articles comparing different vasopressors and inotropes, and to be quite honest, to avoid getting dinged for copyright issues, I will provide citations to these articles where you could obtain these awesome tables for free, but I can't just steal them from somebody else. But I do want some of your feedback regarding citations. As I mentioned, everything in this book will have citations where you could read the sources. After all, I did not write any of these studies that are going to be cited here except for one. And I plan on listing the citations in something other than the actual book. I'm planning on posting it on my website on eddiejoemd.com. Because if I put it in the book, it would increase the length of the book substantially as well as disturb the actual flow. Instead, I plan on having links and QR codes at the end of each chapter to the separate pages on my website where you could just click the links and download the articles for yourself, which is similar to how I work on my website. Now, the next question is the length. The book will be between 100 and 120 pages when all is said and done. The size of the book will be a standard 6x9 inches, which is small enough to fit in a white coat pocket if you're so inclined to carry this around with you. Over the next couple of days, I'm going to be printing out test batches to see whether I should go with a size 10, 11, or 12 font. When you look this stuff up online, you'll find many recommendations for typical nonfiction book formats, but let me know if you have any recommendations on font sizes. Next question is, what's the publication date? And I'm really going to try hard to have this published by October 13th. That was my late father's birthday and has incredible meaning to me. It's a very special day. So it's important to me to have it out on that day. My father always pushed me to pursue any of my ambitions, and writing a book is one of them. That also means that at the time of this podcast, I only have 37 days before I go ahead and submit the book. The due date for the manuscript is October 9th. If you're wondering where you could purchase the book, I will publish it through Kindle Direct Publishing, which is an Amazon company. That means that you'll be able to purchase the paperback, Kindle version, and possibly a hardcover version on Amazon. I also plan on recording it as an Audible book as well. If you're curious as to what the price is going to be, I'm going to try to get it around $25. I honestly need to sort out how many pages the book will be because the length affects the cost. More pages mean more cost. That's why I'm not going to print out all the citations in the book. I've created so much content for free, and given that type of mentality I have, I do not want to charge an exorbitant amount of money for my book. You know, usually textbooks are in excess of $300, and I think that's just ridiculous. This is not that type of book. I want it to be financially accessible so that more people could hopefully get their hands on it and be able to use this information to better take care of their patients. So I've had so much fun writing this book, to be honest with you, that I'm already thinking about writing a second book. And for that one, I'd like to recruit a co-author so I could take a little bit of a load off of myself. So that's all for now. More content is coming soon. As always, I'd like to thank you for your support and for sticking with me in this crazy journey. Have a great day, guys. Bye.